Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line, hour number two. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on a Tuesday morning. NFL win totals, NFL division previews, conference previews. We're going to try to go team by team here for you, and we're starting in the NFC North. And this was probably going to be a division that I know I thought I would have to push off to the back until we got a little bit more of a clearer picture on what good old 12 Aaron Rodgers was going to do. But what do you know? Donnie was right immediately. He came back. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. Happy to be here. And Rodgers will be under center. Donnie, it leaves them as minus 145 favorites to win that division. They're the second choice out there in the NFC.
No, and absolutely they should be the case, because when you take a look at just a healthy Aaron Rodgers to start the football season, they are markedly better than Minnesota, Detroit, and also the Chicago Bears. I mean, hey, look, I expect some decent things out of the Minnesota Vikings, but if we're going to line up Green Bay versus Minnesota, Kirk Cousins overall versus Aaron Rodgers, I think it's a no-brainer at this point. Sometimes we take a look at numbers and what the value or perceived value is going to be. Minus 145, I still think is a pretty good number here, because I do think far and away the Green Bay Packers are the best team in this division. But it's always tough to say, hey, let me take the 145 now, when you could have got plus money just a few weeks ago when some pundits had Aaron Rodgers retiring from the NFL to go and host Jeopardy, which was insane to begin with, or even have those thoughts here. Aaron Rodgers is a football player. Football players play football, particularly when they're an MVP candidate on a really good football team in Green Bay. Everything worked out better for the New England Patriots in the offseason. You got some things matched out. You can go into the season where Aaron Rodgers doesn't hate the front office. They have a working relationship now. And just looking overall at the NFC North, minus 145, they're going to win it. They're going to win it. So to me, that's free money.
It, of all the futures on the Green Bay Packers, minus 145 to win that division does feel like the best one. Over 10.5 wins is minus 120. For 25 cents of juice, just give me them versus the rest of the North. Again, Kirk Cousins, Andy Dalton slash Justin Fields, and then the Detroit Lions, who we'll talk about in a minute. There is a considerable gap there, obviously, when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. But also, I mean, look, people, I don't know if they give LaFleur enough credit, Donnie. In his tenure as the head coach of this Green Bay Packer team, oh, I don't know, he's only gone 13-3, gone to the NFC Championship game, and then 13-3 and going to the NFC Championship game. Like, when we talk about the best coaches in the league, I know a lion's share of the credit goes to Aaron Rodgers, but I feel like a lot of times we'll leave LaFleur out of that conversation. I mean, he is, you know, 2-for-2, basically, if you will, in terms of successes in Green Bay.
No, you're correct. And, you know, sometimes you have to give some credit, even though that you take a look at LaFleur and the coach, you say, wow, it's all Aaron Rodgers. You still have to massage that situation and get Aaron Rodgers to buy in what you're calling, because there are times where maybe they should have gone for a touchdown. Maybe they should have gone for a two-point conversion in key situations where Aaron Rodgers thought differently of what the coaching staff in the front office thought, which is why you have that friction in the offseason. But it seems to work out here, Kevin. Also, when you take a look at their schedule, you know, at New Orleans opening day, that's usually going to be a tough game. Now, New Orleans going to be ready for that game? Sure, they're going to be ready. Are fans going to be in the stands? Yes. But to me, they're a better football team. Second week of the season, Detroit, they should win that. The San Francisco 49ers, as you take a look at them, are they going to have Trey Lance starting? Is Jimmy Garoppolo going to be there? Pittsburgh at home, Cincinnati, the Bears, Washington football team, Cardinals. You can run off a lot of wins here to start the season before you get to week 9 and those Kansas City Chiefs, Kevin.
I will say that's why the division jumps out more than the win total. Let's bring the radio audience into the fold. Thanks to everybody that is listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donner Whiteside talking some Packers futures here. They have three of the toughest road games I feel like you could have, right, Donnie? Between the Niners, the Ravens, and the Chiefs. Yes, they, again, should be beating up on the division, but if that's the path to over 10.5 wins, 25 more cents, you go out there and win that division. I think the futures market, though, in terms of some of their players are interesting, whether it be Aaron Rodgers' season-long over-under for passing yards, maybe to lead the NFL in touchdowns in a way that he did. Also, this is a guy right up there in the MVP race. The reigning MVP is the second choice. And then there's plenty of Devontae Adams numbers, Donnie, that people could sink their teeth into. Do either of those two guys for some season-long options jump out to you?
You know, looking at the placard there, Aaron Rodgers' pass yards at 45-50. He had the extra game. You usually say, where do I sign up? That seems like an easy bet. Not so fast here, Kevin. Not since 2011 as Aaron Rodgers threw for more than 4,500 yards in a season. That's still a lot of yardage that you have to have. So when I take a look at that, I immediately want to hit the yes button, but then I want to go back and say, now, wait a second, Kevin. He threw 48 touchdowns last year to only 5 interceptions and only had 4,300 yards passing. That's amazing stuff, because you figured he'd be well into the 5,000s or at least done that one time in his career. It's a lot of mid-4, so I don't know how much of a bargain I'm getting there. But take a look here if we go with Aaron Rodgers and his compartment at wide receiver here. I think you're going to have a big season, because when you take a look at Adams, you know, his over-under on the season is what, 1,300 yards to go over? I think he does. Not necessarily because I think he's a great wide receiver and he should just get it on merit, Kevin, but these guys interlock. Hey, Aaron, I need a big season to score this monster contract. You know for sure he's getting the football more and being taken care of. I like him over his number and Aaron Rodgers under his number on the season here. Just from a contractual standpoint, I think Adams has a monster year this year.
There are two numbers on both of those players that pay out at +850 that I think present some tremendous value. I'll let you know what those are next. We'll talk a little Detroit Lions on the other side here on the Early Line.
Sometimes winning just comes down to attitude. Well,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on Sports Grid, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Reinsheim talking a little Packers preview for the season. I mentioned that there are two numbers priced at +850, one on Aaron Rodgers and one on Devontae Adams that I think present some value here. Most regular season passing touchdowns, Aaron Rodgers is +850. And it's the fourth choice on the board, despite throwing 8 more touchdowns than the next closest quarterback last year. Do 48 touchdowns. Now, I know you don't just repeat those things like this, but I don't know why he is the fourth choice. Patrick Mahomes is your favorite, okay. Brady and Russ last year got to 40. Aaron Rodgers, plus 850, got to 48 touchdowns. Similarly, Devontae Adams led the NFL in receiving touchdowns with 18. Three more than the next closest player. Only played 14 games, by the way. He's a joint favorite with Travis Kelce. I don't even know if Kelce will lead his own team in touchdowns, much less the NFL. Donnie, do either of those numbers jump out to you? Because plus 850 on both of those guys to do what they did last year jump out a little bit to me.
Yeah, it's basically correlated in that part, because if you can just get one of them, you're going to take down a pretty big money price. And you are correct, looking at last year, 1,374 receiving yards here for Devontae Adams, 18 receiving touchdowns. And as I said in the previous segment here, Kevin, this is one of those seasons where when players have to play for contracts, there's added incentives. And when you have a really good quarterback that says, hey, look, came back here to Green Bay, I want to win a championship, but you're my guy. It's up to me to take care of you and put food on your table, because he can very easily look away and try to bring Jake Kumerow back and throw him a couple touchdown passes, but he likes Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams wants this big-time contract. He hasn't been paid yet, so it's a show-me season, which means, hey, kid, I'm going to be open in the end zone, Aaron. Throw me the football every single time. I will make it happen and be motivated. I look for his over yardage numbers and also 18 touchdowns. That seems doable once again, Kevin. Why? Because it's a 17-game season now. So I like that fact. And if 20 or so touchdowns are coming to Devontae Adams, you know who's throwing them? Probably not Jordan Love. So that means a lot of players getting a lot of love and Green Bay scoring points here. You get that? Love all over the place.
Yeah, no, absolutely beautiful stuff there. True pros, pro Donnie Wrightside. We start at the top of the NFC North. We're going to go to the bottom of the NFC North. 19-1 for the Detroit Lions to win this division. Matthew Stafford out. Jared Goff in. The Matt Patricia era was an absolute debacle. One of the most foolish things this organization has ever done was letting Jim Caldwell go. They've now got Dan Campbell leading things at the top here. Look, I think their odds to have the worst record in the league at plus 400 is more relevant than their odds to win the Super Bowl. But Donnie, talk to me. Detroit Lions, odds for the North, win total here. Does anything jump out as it pertains to this football team?
Yeah, the one thing jumps out that at least Matt Patricia is gone. I mean, Kev, what, you didn't like him riding around on a four-wheeler during the open practices in the dome in Detroit? Right. That was going to endear himself somehow to the crowd? Absolutely not. And, you know, there's a lot of players here that don't like the Patriot way. Certainly didn't go over the Patriot way with the Detroit Lions. But I got to tell you, I look at the five wins here, and we have a 17-game schedule. So, obviously, 5-12 gets you a push. But look, it's way too early to go over the schedule and say wins, losses, all the way into November, December, when we don't know who's actually playing. But I got to tell you, where are the wins coming from here for the Detroit Lions? And the worst part about it is, like, when you open up the season, you want to get some, like, good vibes going. So you open up the season and you go, okay, we play the 49ers. You're probably going to have Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterback, not a young rookie. That's going to be a tough one. At the Green Bay Packers, Baltimore Ravens, at the Bears, at the Vikings. Then you get the Bengals at home, okay. And then you get the Rams and the Eagles right behind it. You say, oh, man, thank goodness we got to the bye at this point. Well, then you come back on the road to Pittsburgh, on the road to Cleveland, Chicago Bears, Vikings, at the Broncos. I don't know how you could be set up for failure more than what we're taking a look at here from the Detroit Lions. And also keep in mind, when we're going over with the Detroit Lions, my, you know, saying for 2020 and 2019 was, man, the Rams would be such a good bet if they didn't have Jared Goff at quarterback. So now we're going to a bad football team, and adding Jared Goff to that football team? Long season in Detroit here. I don't know, Kevin. I don't find the five wins here on the schedule.
I'm very glad that you said that, because, and look, down the road, we'll get to the Texans. We had some early looks at their win total, and you're like, hold on a minute now. Like, the number's 4, 3.5, and I'm like, is Donnie gonna be about that five? Where are the wins? Like, let's just say
they
Let's just say I give you two in division, which is more than I should give you, but I'm in a generous mood, right? And then they absolutely 100% hold it down at home versus the Bengals and at home versus the Eagles, which absolutely breaks my heart to even suggest such a thing. Okay, you're at four. You split at Atlanta and at Denver. I don't got a six win for you, and I'm being kind. I'm in a giving mood here on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Plus 400 for them to have the worst record in the league has a little bit of juice. I was even curious, like,
there's an exact win total market on FanDuel. Now, I'm not going to bet a team to go 0-17. 14-1 is preposterous for a team to go winless. But, like, they're not. I can't see them win six games. It's just so difficult to wrap my head around. And here's the other thing. I know that maybe Sean McVay has lost favor with some people, oddly, because he went to a Super Bowl and then it didn't work. And then people decided that they just didn't want to like Sean McVay anymore. Jared Goff played one season without Sean McVay. He's the worst quarterback I think I've ever seen. I think he's the worst quarterback. He got like four starts as the number one overall pick. And they're like, we need to move on immediately. And now he's away from Sean McVay. His receiving core is Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. And is now Rashad Perriman is his leading. Not good, people. Not good at all. And you'll actually notice FanDuel doesn't even have like season-long numbers on Jared Goff as it pertains to, say, a passing total. Maybe they think this guy just gets benched before, like, just because he's bad. It's plausible. The two names they do have season-long numbers are, Donnie, TJ Hockenson for a receiving prop and DeAndre Swift for a rushing prop. Swift is interesting because at least Matt Patricia, who somehow knew to draft Swift but didn't know to play Swift, is gone. TJ Hockenson is by far and away the best option that this team has as far as pass catchers go. Do you have any juice on those numbers?
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring it up, too, because I like where you're going with these. But also, you know, getting back to Jared Goff with no passing props, it's almost like, you know, the odds makers' heads explode. Like, what are we hanging at? I don't know. A normal quarterback who's just average is going to get 3,800. Like, well, now it's Jared Goff here. So we can't just hang a 2,700 out here and have no idea what's going on. Let's just hold off on that one, which we're probably the only two guys looking for props on Jared Goff to see what his passing numbers would be. But taking a look also at Hockenson, he's a very good tight end. They're going to be losing football games, which means in the fourth quarter, he should be getting added receptions. But at the same time, Kevin, it's Jared Goff. It's not Matthew Stafford getting you the football here. It's going to be harder to get receptions, which then we flip it around to running and Dan Campbell and biting people's knees, and we're going to be tougher than you. That means you're probably going to run the football. Look at last year, 13 games, 521 yards on the ground there for Swift. Let's just say he stays healthy and plays a full 17 games. He should hit that 875 number, because if it's about setting the tone in Detroit, you're going to start with the running game, not airing it out with Jared Goff. But it's so great that we brought up, you know, the team we think that's going to win the division, the Packers, and then one of the lower-level teams in the NFL where you're saying, like, hey, 19-1 to win a Super Bowl is usually a pretty good price. They're 19-1 to win their division. Going to be a tough, long year for the Lions. But then again, when is it never, Kevin, a tough, long year for the Lions?
It was a four-year run when they hired Jim Caldwell, and they were like, what? Winning seasons? We're better than this. Matt Patricia, come fix everything. And it went horribly, horribly wrong. Hawkinson's number's a little bit interesting because the gap between him and the next closest pass catcher on this football team is considerable. We've seen tight ends become more and more relevant for certain teams in the passing game. Kelsey, Darren Waller, last year, 1,000-yard seasons. Is that what TJ Hockenson racks up? That might be a lot, but over 16 games last year, 723 yards. You're not far off the mark last year if you just extrapolate that over 17 games. Now leading the way, I think his number could present some value. Coming up next year on the show, we talk a little bit more about the Green Bay Packers with Andy Herman joining us right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Kevin Wallace from Donnie Rideside with you. Now joining the show, Andy Herman. You can follow on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL, owner of the Pack a Day podcast, writes and edits over at the Packers Report. Andy, thanks for waking up with us here to talk a little Green Bay Packers.
Hey, you bet. Thanks so much for having me. Always happy to talk Packers.
So look, we got to start right here. We were telling you a little bit during the break. Aaron Rodgers, Maybe I thought the guy was going to go host Jeopardy. I don't know. I mean, certainly it's an interesting move for the reigning MVP. Can we just circle back, Andy? What was your read on this situation? How real was Aaron Rodgers leaving Green Bay in your eyes?
Yeah, I expected from the very first day that this kind of came about, I had a feeling that this was going to ebb and flow in about 100 different directions throughout the course of the offseason, up until the point where, you know, kind of the rubber finally met the road. I always expected that date to be right around training camp, because that's really when the pressure intensifies, both on Rodgers and on the Packers. Of course, if Rodgers isn't in camp, then the pressure really heats up on Green Bay. At the same token, you go back to Tom Brady a season ago, and he talked about not really getting to know the playbook in full till like the very end of the season, where things kind of started to finally click at that point. And he was there, I think, in March, you know, last year in Tampa. So if Rodgers wanted to get to another team and play this season, he also needed to figure that out sooner rather than later, because you can't just go in August and just kind of be ready and good to go, even if you're Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, it definitely took a lot of those turns along the way. I know there were plenty of people who I very much trust on the Packers beat who thought he was done in Green Bay, like no coming back. So that was always playing on my mind. At the same token, I did feel like the longer this went on, the more likely it was that he returned for at least a season. And I said all offseason I was about 65% sure he was going to come back, and I was 0% confident in that statement. But again, overall, at the end, I definitely thought that he would come back, and he did. But there was definitely some turns along the way.
People were checking in here in the offseason, seeing if memberships were being renewed at golf courses, you know, flyovers. Is Aaron Rodgers in town? Where is he vacationing? The question I want to bring up to you here as we take a look, Andy, is not so much, we're going to talk Jordan Love on the field in just a few moments, but obviously with the Green Bay Packers, they have a history of this, right? Brett Favre is the leading quarterback, Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion for the Packers. Aaron Rodgers comes to town. Brett Favre says, not my job to train this guy to take my job. I'm going to hold him off as long as possible. So now we fast forward to Aaron Rodgers not happy that Love was drafted at quarterback. Aaron Rodgers now in town basically saying, I'm going to be here as long as I need to be here to force Jordan Love outside of the Green Bay organization. From a working perspective between Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love, is it, you know, complacency? Is it, you know, I'm going to hold this guy off? Or does he know the writing on the wall? Eventually, Love is going to be the quarterback, but I need to hold him off as long as possible. Just talk about some of the intricacies between Love and Rodgers, just like a working relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the first thing that's worth noting here is Aaron's been fantastic with Jordan. And I think that's completely understandable when you consider that it obviously wasn't the best experience for Aaron when he originally came in. As you mentioned, Brett maybe not having that mentorship type mentality to try to train Aaron Rodgers, and maybe not always being the warmest to Aaron when he first came in. You know, Aaron went through all that, and I think Aaron fully understands that of everything that's going on, none of this is Jordan's fault. It's not like Jordan was petitioning to be picked by the Packers to be Aaron's replacement or anything like that. It's just the Packers decided to go in that direction. And I think both Aaron and Jordan have handled it wonderfully, you know, Aaron in regards to each other. You know, Aaron, like I said, has really mentored him a lot, you know, both last season, you can see it this season again, going through tips and tricks on the field. And then Jordan just kind of consistently and constantly preparing the same way. And he hasn't, you know, there certainly hasn't been any drama from Jordan of being like, hey, I need to be the guy now or anything like that. So for, between those two, it's been fantastic. And for Aaron, you know, this has always been, it hasn't even necessarily, I do believe when he says this, I don't think it was necessarily about the Jordan Love pick. He understands that, you know, at any given point, anyone in this league is one hit away from being out of this league, and you have to have somebody that's ready to come in and take the reins and things like that. I think he understands that. I think the difference between he and Brett is Brett, of course, was consistently waffling back and forth, play, not sure I'm going to come back, then retires, everything like that. With Aaron, he's been very forthright for years now, saying, I want to play into my 40s. I want to finish a Green Bay Packer. I want to do everything I can. And when he consistently said that to the Packers, and the Packers have kept kind of saying, hey, we'll kind of push things down the road a little bit. We'll see what happens. But never gave him any of the assurances, especially after drafting Jordan Love, that he was going to have the right to do that. I think that's where he kind of said, okay, if you guys want me out or don't have future plans for me, that's okay, but I'm going to start planning on my own as well.
I want to circle back to Jordan Love in a minute, but I want to ask you about Matt LaFleur. For so often, for so many years, right, people would be willing to bet the Patriots, and obviously they'd mention Tom Brady, but they'd also always mention Bill Belichick. Matt LaFleur is 26-6 and has gone to the conference championship in 100% of his seasons. Yet, I feel like, Andy, if I ask people to give me their top five, top ten head coaches, LaFleur, come on, it's Aaron Rodgers. How do you view Matt LaFleur? Because I feel like this is a guy that maybe doesn't get enough credit for what he has done in his first two seasons there at Lambeau Field.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I think he deserves a ton of credit, especially when, if you remember correctly, Rodgers didn't have that same MVP caliber seasons the years before Matt LaFleur got here. Even the first year with LaFleur was definitely a transitioning point, and you could tell that. But people were wondering, you know, is Matt LaFleur going to be able to rein in Aaron Rodgers? Is he young, and you know Rodgers isn't going to respect him, and all those sort of things. And I think the thing with Matt that was so well done is, I think if this is a Josh McDaniels situation like he did with Denver, and McDaniels just said, here's how the way I'm doing things and you need to get on board, I think this would have been an unmitigated disaster. But LaFleur really let Rodgers, you know, kind of pick what plays he wanted to run. He carried over a lot of the McCarthy stuff in his first season. And you look at that first season, it was kind of a Frankenstein Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy offense. And give credit to Matt LaFleur for meeting him halfway on that. And then give credit to Rodgers the next year, this last season in 2020, for meeting him the other way and saying, you know what, I'm going to run the Matt LaFleur offense. And then we saw the MVP season from Rodgers. But you mentioned back-to-back NFC championships. Matt LaFleur has yet to lose two games in a row in his career. The only time was in preseason, I guess, in his very first year when he lost two back-to-back. But in the regular season and playoffs, not back-to-back losses yet. He's been nothing but insanely impressive so far.
It's been good. You're right, because when you have one of those quarterbacks that's entrenched here that seemingly has a grasp on the NFL and how it works, a younger coach coming in, it's good to see the respect overall. Expectations this year on the football team being the Green Bay Packers, Andy. Let's take a look and see what we have now. It seems like also with the contract situation for Aaron Rodgers and Olive Branch have been extended. Let's get through the season. Let's reevaluate at the end. And even all along when Aaron Rodgers, maybe we're hearing like talking retirement, he wants out of town, he wants to be traded, I always thought Green Bay was the best overall situation for him. He obviously knows the system. It's a very good football team. They have a division that they can win, as opposed to being traded to the Denver Broncos or the Los Angeles Rams and getting to learn a new regime. But take a look at not just this year. In your thoughts, Andy, does it look like Aaron Rodgers is going to be here to stay in Green Bay? Or is it one of those, hey guys, we made up here, give me one more season, and I really would like to look elsewhere a la Tom Brady?
Yeah, this is another one of those things that could easily ebb and flow about 100 more times through the course of the season. It's my belief, and I think it's a lot of people's belief, that this is going to be a last dance situation and that this will be Rodgers' last year in Green Bay. There's a lot of tea leaves to read here. So first of all, of course, you had the last dance picture posted by Rodgers and Adams of, like, you know, one last time together, which was, you know, not exactly hard to read between the lines, right? And then you look at Green Bay's salary cap. They have massive, massive issues going into next season. And they, you know, there's always, you know, money in the banana stand, if you will. You can always, you know, borrow money from future seasons to some extent. But, you know, mathematically, the easiest way out of this is by figuring out something with Rodgers and kind of moving on and kind of restarting from a salary cap standpoint. When Jordan Love was drafted, a lot of people put kind of a two-year window on his development and potentially starting in year three. They obviously need to move forward with him at some point if they have any sort of level of belief in him. Just kind of everything altogether leads. And then, of course, some of the reporting that Rodgers has the ability to kind of, you know, there may be a handshake agreement of, you know, if he's still unhappy, he can request a trade and they'll kind of honor that. You know, who knows if, you know, the level of truth to that. But if all of that put together, it definitely does seem like this is potentially Rodgers' last year in Green Bay.
Andy, only about a minute or so left here. Here's what I want to ask you. For the Green Bay Packers this season, does anybody in the North scare this team, or is it going to be 17 games of eyeing up what Tampa does, what San Fran does, what the Rams do, and try and figure out if they are going to end up the number one seed in the NFC?
Yeah, Green Bay put a ton of resources into this season, borrowing, I think, over $30-plus million from future caps to really kind of go all in on this year, bring back guys like Aaron Jones. And I just think that when you look at the rest of the division, You know, I don't think that there's anything talent-wise that scares Green Bay. You know, Minnesota is, you know, always gives Green Bay a tough time and can definitely be in that conversation. But whether they're a wild card team, division champion, whatever, Green Bay is definitely going to be a team that's in the mix at this at some point this season. And that's what their goal. They're all in this year. They're definitely trying to win a Super Bowl. So obviously the easiest road to that is winning their division first. And I think they'll be heavy favorites.
Yeah, they are. And it looks like it is certainly their division to lose. Andy, thank you so much for joining us here on the Early Line. Again, that is Andy Herman. You can follow him on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL, owner of Pack-A-Day Podcast and writes over there at Packers Report. Andy, thanks so much. Hopefully we'll talk to you throughout the season.
Can't wait, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, coming up next here on the Early Line, we get set to preview the Major League Baseball board. And not just on any day, of course, folks, here. It's a Tuesday, which means it is a Dinger Tuesday. Coors Field, I can hear it call me right now. Come on back here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Baseball closes out here on a Tuesday, a Dinger Tuesday. Let's find out where the value is here on this board. The one thing I have to bring up, now again, doubleheaders in the history of this show. I think there's been one bet made on a doubleheader and it lost. And of course it was me because, well, Donnie doesn't break his rules. I'm like, oh, I will never do that. And then of course I do it. It was a Blue Jays Red Sox game over. It didn't work out. But it is a massive two-game slate for the Yankees and the Red Sox. The Yankees will jump Boston if they beat them twice. Also, when the Yankees lose both of these games, because it just feels like that's the way this goes, then, well, I'll try to bury it tomorrow in the rundown and hope that we don't get to it here. But, Donnie, I don't think you can overstate the importance of this doubleheader today between the Yanks and the Sox.
No, it's a huge game. It's huge because it's playoff implications all the way around. Now, as we say in doubleheaders, which I very rarely bet, particularly once they have moved to seven-inning doubleheaders, you have the feeling that if both the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees met before these games and say, hey, look, man, you take one, we'll take one and get out of town, they will be certainly happy with that because let's take a look at the ramifications, Kevin. If Boston comes to town and loses two straight to the Yankees here on this doubleheader, or if the New York Yankees take two from the Boston Red Sox, or again, vice versa, I don't think that's going to work out too well because all momentum will be lost. Let's just say the Yankees lose two games in a row here in the doubleheader to the Boston Red Sox. All that goodwill and undoing, hey, beat the White Sox, had a nice win yesterday over Shohei Ohtani's Angels, but now you go two games back in the loss column in one day to a division rival when you're fighting to go up against the Athletics and trying to make yourself into that wild card division winner, just like the Boston Red Sox are. This is a massive, massive doubleheader that gets underway at 1 o'clock. And I do think it's evenly matched here from a lineup perspective. To me, it looks like obviously the Boston has the better, hotter hitting lineup, if you will, from what we project going over the last 30 days between pitchers. But I got to say, Kevin, I'm expecting a 1-1 split today. 2-0 either way could be a boon for one team and a disaster for the other.
Yeah, absolutely. I have no issues if folks are out there playing money lines. Say, go ahead at 1 o'clock. I'll be betting the loser at 7 at night. There certainly could be some validity to that. All right, let's keep moving through the board here. Here's where I want to start. Cardinals, Brewers. Donnie has avoided this just basically because we've been busy, but I've been dying to make this guy tell me that he wants to bet the Cardinals to win the National League at like 290-1, just some unbelievable numbers on St. Louis. The thing is we've talked about their schedule. I mean, they play exclusively terrible baseball teams, and then right here, this three-game set against Milwaukee. Now, look, they're 10 back of the Brewers. I think it's far more likely that they can maybe hump down the Padres than the Brewers. Regardless, though, the Cardinals have won six in a row, and they need to keep putting results up on the board. No easy task. Corbin Burns takes the ball for the Brewers, Donnie, in a game with a total of 7.
Expensive price here. Brewers minus 158, but deservedly so. You're taking a look on the mound here. Corbin Burns, one of the better pitchers in Major League Baseball, even over the last 30 days, over the entire season. But let's take a look at how he's been lately over the past month. 2.25 xFIP. Kevin, how about this? Strikeout rate to both lefties and righties combined, 34% of the batters that he's faced. So one out of every three batters not even getting the ball in play. And also, you know the numbers I like to use, weighted on base average and ISO power numbers. They are incredible. So not only are his weighted on base averages great between lefties and righties, take a look at the ISO power numbers, which means what you're doing with these at-bats. You're getting doubles, you're getting home runs. ISO power number to lefties over the last month, 0.055. How about the righties? 0.058. So right off the bat, you're taking a look and say, well, how am I going to do this? What an uphill battle. If Burns goes 6 or 7 innings, it leaves a lot less wiggle room for St. Louis to win this baseball game. But flipping it over, Wainwright hasn't been that bad. Over the last month here, Kevin, 3.87 xFIP number, 283 weighted on base average to lefties, 174 to righties, and also a power number here, Kevin, ISO 0.048. So looking from a Wainwright perspective in Burns, you like to take the under, but you get a little bit of nerve. You get a little bit of nerves. Why? 7. So 3-3, you're automatically going to be at least a push or a loser once it gets to extra innings. This is a tough one to say. I do lean towards the under, but boy, oh boy, Kevin, betting an under 7 is tough in Major League Baseball.
It certainly is. And again, I know they're playing very, very bad teams. St. Louis is hot at the plate here. Like just during this 6-game win streak here, 4 runs, 4 runs, 7-6-9-7. Again, I know, bad baseball teams. They have actually now scored 4 or more runs in 11 games here in a row. That team is hitting, and a team total today at 3 at plus 102. Again, obviously, though, going up against Corbin Burns, who's pitched 11 innings against this Cardinals team, giving up a run, is no easy ask. Let's keep it moving here. I want to go back to a game yesterday that was important because it's equally as important today. White Sox Athletics. Boy, does it speak volumes that Chicago cannot even be laying a number here to this Oakland team. It really, I know that they're actually not throwing Rodon or Lynn in these games, Donnie, but another pick here for a home White Sox team against the Athletics.
And it almost sets up the same way yesterday because you're taking a look at starting pitchers, which obviously is like starting goaltender, starting quarterback. The most important player on the baseball team that night is always the starter. Chris Bassett's been good, Kevin, over the last 30 days, a 3.31 xFIP number, handling his business to both lefties and righties. Then we take a look at a guy on the mound here for Chicago White Sox and Ronaldo Lopez, one of my favorite guys over the past couple years to fade because it always seems like he gives up the home run ball. But over the last month for himself, you know, faced 68 batters, a 3.35 xFIP number, an elite K rate of close to 34%. Weighted on base averages, Kevin, to lefties. Keep in mind, Lopez is a righty, a 292, which is fantastic. And then how about this? Right-handed batters, which he's faced 40 of, Kevin, over the past 30 days. That is a 192. The game went under yesterday. Playoff-type atmosphere. Good bullpens on the mound. If Lopez gives an honest effort and you get what you got from Keuchel last night, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, we're headed for another under in this game tonight. Once again, I will lean towards the Oakland Athletics, but I think they have the better overall pitcher on the mound. That didn't work out last night, even after, Kevin, a 2-0 lead by the Oakland Athletics.
The White Sox have been excellent at home all year long, straight up, 36-18 when they are favored at home. It just something to consider here with an Athletics team that has not been as good against teams above 500, but Bassett Lopez is certainly an interesting matchup here. Let's transition a little bit later down the board, but not that far. Padres, Rockies. Certainly the kind of game, Donnie, that I know that you and I have eyed up in the past as it pertains to Dinger Tuesday. Now, at the moment, there are no available lines here on the FanDuel Sportsbook, but just a preliminary look for those that are going to be looking to get involved here. Does this look like maybe the top game on the board?
It's interesting because as you're taking a look at the overall game, you try to start with, you know, what you like about this. Obviously, it's Colorado. Obviously, it's thin air. 87, 88 degrees at first pitch, Kevin. Winds blowing out the dead center field around double digits. It has all the makings of exactly what you hope for to get a game and maybe a Dinger Tuesday shot here and hitting an over. But the fact is, I'm not in love with the pitching matchups, which is like, hey, great, that means you're going to hit a lot. No. The pitching matchups actually seem good here. Herman Marquez, 3.75 xFIP number of the last 30 days. 340 to lefties is the weighted on base average, 299 to righties, but he's a pretty good pitcher and, of course, used to pitching in altitude. A guy that we don't know really if he is going to start, which we don't have any confirmed starters, Chris Mapp, the righty here for the Padres. 3.29 xFIP, which is very good. Strikeout rate about 26% over the last 30 days. Hasn't faced a lot of batters. It's been under 50, but he does have an elevated weighted on base average of 371 to righties and to lefties a 349. So once again, yesterday, as we saw that team total at 5.5 for the Colorado Rockies, and we like that. They did get it on a solo blast in the bottom of the ninth inning by CJ Krohn. There's a lot to like from this lineup here for the Colorado Rockies, and their ISO power numbers make sense against right-handed pitching. Connor Joe, 273. Trevor Story, 206. Charlie Blackman, 215. CJ Krohn, 268. Hilliard, 346. And Nunez, 337. That's just over the last 30 days. So if guys are getting good power numbers in Colorado with optimal conditions from a weather perspective and wind perspective, it might be one that we look towards, because even a really good pitching performance, Kevin, is what? 5-4 up in Colorado? That's still 9 runs. Maybe a decent shot here coming from me, from the side of the Colorado Rockies, for a dinger here on Tuesday night.
Not bad. Connor Joe, everybody's favorite. Before we go to any other specific games, Donnie, have you started to circle this board yet and figure out which games might be presenting some value before you maybe sift through and make any final decisions?
Yeah, there's a couple games that I want to look at. And, of course, you know, even on Dinger Tuesday, I get asked quite a bit because we're on a nice little run having fun on the FanDuel Sportsbook here. But you can't have a dinger early in the morning because the guy still needs to play in that baseball game. So as the day goes later, and Kevin likes to say, Donnie, don't put too much work into this one, but let's get a 7th straight winner here on Dinger Tuesday. I'll be able to help the people out, hopefully find the shot. But the circled plays on the card today with advantages, I believe, from a hitting perspective with team totals. Toronto, Atlanta, the Cincinnati Reds once again. Looks like we have, obviously, Philadelphia a little bit later tonight, 9:40. And again, Kevin, this is one of those teams I don't take quite often. But you're looking at a bad bullpen out there in the desert, a bad baseball team. I think the Philadelphia Phillies at the plate, who have been, you know, lowly between the Reds and, you know, the Dodgers coming to town, I think they get amped up tonight and they'll be able to get their team totaled. Also, another look late at night in a pitcher's ballpark going up against Marcus Stroman, who's a good pitcher. I still think San Francisco has a little bit of life at the plate tonight. They match up very well against Stroman. They can throw a lot of lefties at him. And most of the time we're looking, you know, hey, Mets, and you're going up against the Giants, should be an under. We told you last night there should be runs out there in San Francisco, and there were, including a triple into the gap by Pete Alonso. But outside of that, those are the games that I'm looking at overall today, and maybe even sneak in a team total with the Rays in the Dome. Because why, Kevin? Yes, it's the Orioles. That's why.
Honest, first of all, the Orioles are always great. They're just the perfect baseball team. Tampa is obliterating the baseball right now. They are always worth a look, which never used to be the case. I'll tell you another one I just wanted to bring up here. It's a high number, but they're a great baseball team. Now, you probably have to get it done in 8 innings because they're like minus 300 to win the game. But the L.A. Dodgers tonight, Will Crow has an ERA above a 6 on the road. The Dodgers team total is a 5.5. I think there's a good chance that you see the Dodgers go out there and able to put up some appropriate results on that board. I also, too, just needed to pull it back for a second, Donnie. And I know why. I just cannot believe that we are at a point where Vladimir Gutierrez is a minus 160 against Kyle Hendricks. I just can't believe that that's where we are right now in the season.
Yeah, I mean, when you take a look at, you know, scoring runs and getting runs, and, you know, it is what the Chicago Cubs are. It's amazing. You are correct. You take a look at Vladimir Gutierrez, a 5.55 xFIP over the last 30 days. He gets lit up all over the place, but yet you're taking a look at a heavy favorite for the Reds. Did you watch last night? What, 12-0 heading into the 8th inning? You get this all the time, though, Kevin. The Cubs are a bad baseball team. How can you bet them? I bet them last night at a team total of 3.5, which I thought was ridiculous, and it looked like I was on my way to getting shut out. 5 runs in the top of the 8th inning with 2 outs. Why? Bad bullpens give up runs in games that don't matter, Kevin. That is a rule you should always stick by.
That's why those live team totals that we follow on In Play Sports tonight are always worth a look. I also have to let everybody know that maybe my favorite pitcher in all of baseball is on the mound today for the Texas Rangers, Spencer Howard. 2 1/3 in the debut, 3 innings last game. If he gets to 4 innings today, it will be our top story tomorrow. No doubt about it. Coming up next, though, here on the Early Line, Ariel joins Don to let you know what's coming up on the morning after. Keep it right here on Sports Grid, live with you on this Tuesday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Segment of the day here on a Tuesday for the Early Line. Myself, Donnie Wright, along with Kevin Walsh, two action-packed hours getting you ready for a big Tuesday on the Major League Baseball card, but also some big doings here in the NBA. But before we bring that up, you know we got you covered here on the Sports Grid Network. The morning after coming up, let's welcome in Ariel Epstein on a Tuesday. Welcome in.
Thanks, Donnie. I'm sure you're excited about the news that happened this morning. I always laugh when I see these deals pop up at 8 a.m. here on the East Coast thinking, did this happen last night and they just didn't want to report it until this morning? Or is this something that they actually wake up, get on the phone at 6 a.m. and say, hey, all right, we're ready to agree to terms for Joel Embiid?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what was the case? They couldn't get a hold of Joel Embiid late last night to break this story, but Adrian Wojnarowski breaks the story this morning, a 4-year extension, $176 million. So what are we looking forward to here in the city of Philadelphia? Everybody else says, that's all fine and good. Now, go get Damian Lillard here from the Portland Trailblazers to try to, you know, add a little bit of impact for the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll see what happens with Ben Simmons, but it should be an interesting one with that big contract, but also here in the city of New York. Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees, doubleheader in the afternoon, big doings in the playoffs. We talking baseball today on the morning after, Ariel.
Of course we're talking baseball today on the morning after. There was a lot that went down from a gambling perspective last night that we'll get to. Also, these futures markets continue to shift, especially when it comes to the divisional races. The Yankees aren't even one of those teams I'm alluding to. It's the other team in New York, the New York Mets. The National League East has been moving like crazy. I compare the National League East to the NFC East of last year. You could continue to bet the dog in this division and end up on top at pretty much a different point every week.
Yeah, you're exactly correct. You're trying to get the best value from all of them. You see the Mets in the lead, then they go play in seeming like 100 straight games against the Dodgers and the Giants completely flips everything around. But the one thing that we did love about Major League Baseball last week was the Field of Dreams game announced already coming back in 2022. The Cubs and the Reds in that game, Ariel. How are we feeling about that?
It's great. I'm excited. I'm just not as excited anymore. The first time, Donnie, is always the best.
Exactly. We're great. We're excited. The morning after is coming up. Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens will take you through over the next 3 hours for the Early Line. We'll see you tomorrow.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Race to savings at Menards and start updating your home today. We offer an excellent in-stock selection of home appliances that are ready to take home today, including Criterion refrigerators, freezers, dishwashers, and laundry appliances. They're built to help make your life simple, no matter how busy life gets. Criterion appliances are ready when you are. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on Criterion appliances.
Save big money at Menards.
Race to savings now at Menards. We carry the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries ready for your next project. Power up your devices with Energizer batteries. Nothing outlasts the long-lasting power of Energizer Ultimate Lithium batteries. Right now, get a four-pack of lithium batteries for $9.99 through February 14th. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on all your battery needs at Menards.
Save